Hey everyone, I'm Eugene Driscoll and welcome to Navel Gazing, the Valley Indie podcast. I'm a reporter with valleyindie.org, a nonprofit online newspaper in Ansonia, Connecticut. Valleyindie.org is part of the Online Journalism Project, the nonprofit that runs the New Haven Independent and WNHH, New Haven's community radio station. So good morning to our listeners on the radio as well. Today we're going to be talking about charter revision in the city of Derby. Embrace yourselves, people, because I have a long introduction. In addition to choosing a U.S. president and state representatives on November 8th, voters in Derby are being asked to accept or reject a number of changes to the city's charter. City charter, by the way, is essentially a rule book by which Derby government operates. It sets up the framework of local government, defines the role of elected officials, and spells out how city government is organized. Today, I have five public officials from Derby in the office with me today for a roundtable discussion on the changes proposed for the city charter. Joining me is Carmen DiCenzo, president of the Derby Board of Aldermen. Carmen, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Second one, Ward Alderman Joe DiMartino. Hello, Joe.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Second Ward Alderman Art Gerkins.
Good morning, Eugene.
Good morning. Walt Mayhew, a former member of the Board of Aldermen, the Board of Education, and the Board of Apportionment and Taxation.
Good morning, Eugene. Thanks for the opportunity.
No problem. And Adam Pacheco, a member of the Derby Charter Revision Commission.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
No problem. And I will just admit right off the bat, my bias towards the second ward, it's where I live. So everybody, yeah, thanks a lot for taking the time, especially on a Saturday morning, to talk about this issue. Before we get into the discussion, if you want to read the Derby Charter and see the changes being proposed, if you want to follow along as we talk, if you want to see the sample ballots for Election Day, if you want to find out where to vote, visit derbyct.gov/election-information. Again, it's derbyct.gov/election-information. So there are two yes or no charter questions on the ballot in Derby. And we're going to talk about the second question first, because that's the one that's generated some heat locally. When you go into the voting booth November 8th in Derby, you are going to read this. Question two. Shall Section 14 of the Charter of the City of Derby, entitled Dual Office Holding, etc., be deleted in accordance with the report and recommendation of the Charter Revision Commission of 2016 regarding said section? Yes, no. So basically, voters are being asked to hit the delete button on Section 14 of the Charter. And that's about 120 words, and it has to do with something called, quote, dual office holding, unquote. So we should probably just first explain what the heck dual office holding is. And I figured, Joe DiMartino, you're a city employee with the Department of Public Works.
Yes, sir.
You're also a dedicated, civic-minded Derby native son. So you run for the Board of Aldermen, and you get elected because, I mean, everybody loves Joe. So what happens at the swearing-in ceremony? If you could explain to us, take us to that swearing-in ceremony. What has to happen before you, as a public employee who's just been elected to the Derby Board of Aldermen, what happens?
We have to have a vote on a waiver for me to have a waiver to sit on the Board of Aldermen. It has to be unanimous. And I'm hopeful that I get it every time that I'm elected, but that has to be a unanimous waiver as of right now.
So, and that's the dual office holding. That's spelled out in the section of the charter that we're referencing here.
Correct.
Basically, that's where the rule comes from.
Yes.
And from like what I've researched, for generations, Derby government, sort of an effort to separate power and influence, has prohibited public employees from becoming elected officials unless the full Board of Aldermen gives a green light. So basically, I wanted to go around and hear where people stand on this, the people being you guys in the room. But before I do that, I just wanted to quickly read the explanatory text and then revisit it after you all share your thoughts. The explanatory text, by the way, is something that I believe was approved by the Board of Aldermen. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty self-explanatory. This is what you rely on for information from the government to make an informed vote. So the explanatory text is, the question, if approved, would delete the section in its entirety and eliminate the prohibition against dual office holding by a member of the Board of Aldermen, and eliminate the prohibition against city officials doing business with or being employed to do any work for the city of Derby unless the prohibition is waived by the unanimous vote of the Board of Aldermen. So that's it explained. And Adam, you were a member of the Derby Charter Revision Commission. You lived with this document since, I guess, late spring, early summer.
Yeah, exciting stuff.
Very exciting. You know, thanks for your time and commitment. It's good that people step up. So where do you stand on this particular issue?
I'm for the repeal of the article. As I said in a number of the meetings, I take issue with the idea that we could have language in a city document that would essentially dictate to the voter how they can and can't vote. I don't believe that's the place of government. And I think that we need to put a little faith in the electorate and the voters that says they're educated enough to know who the individual they're voting for is and what that individual stands for. And ultimately leave it to the voters to decide.
Okay. And I'll just go around the room like this. So, Carmen, you're the president of the Board of Aldermen. What are your thoughts on this issue?
On the dual office holding, I was definitely against the unanimous vote. I wouldn't mind to leave it alone as if it was a majority vote. But on the other hand, that's not what is proposed. So right now, I would definitely delete it. I believe that the strongest word a citizen has is their right to vote. And when they do vote, if Joe, Art, any of us are running for an office, and you get 400 or 500 votes from your ward, and you're elected by the people, that one man should not, or one person should not be able to throw you off. It's their right to vote. Like Adam said, listen, it's a small city. We have a lot of hard times filling a slate for the election. And we have good people who work for the city who are volunteering their time to run for these boards. And if they're elected by the people, then they should be able to serve.
Okay. Thanks, Carmen. Alderman DeMartino, I know this is is it right to call it a personal issue with you? I don't want to put words into your mouth, but where do you stand on it?
Listen, I've worked for the city for 28 years. I run for alderman. You know, I kind of agree with Carmen. I don't feel that, you know, listen, the people know who I am. I go door to door. I give them my bio. They read the bio, hopefully. They see that I'm a City of Derby employee. And I still get elected. So the people know what I do for a living. And I just don't think it's right, again, that it has to be one person that could knock me off with the waiver. I don't think that's a right. You know, I just don't think that's right. I think that, you know, if somebody has maybe somebody doesn't like me, or maybe it's political, Republican, Democrat. They could just vote no, and I'm out. And I worked hard to get elected. I walked the doors. I did my job to try to show the people that I care about the city and I want to be, you know, an alderman and try to help the city out. So for one person to take that away, I just don't think it's fair.
Okay. Then your fellow second ward alderman is Art Gerkins. Art, I know you have a lot of thoughts on this subject. Please share them.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally opposed to question two. I think it should get voted down with a resounding no. You know, city employees or people that get paychecks by the city should be held to a higher standard than anybody else, because the potential, and it's not saying it's there, but the potential for conflicts of interest exists. And by removing this section from the charter is just the wrong way to go about it. You can't convince me otherwise. We'll debate the issue. I'm sure there's going to be follow-up questions, but my opening statement is this absolutely needs to be voted no. And it's nothing personal. I know all these people. They're friends of mine. I spend time with them. Too often in a small town, when you take an opposing view, people take it personally. That's not the case. I have the utmost respect for these people. However, with that said, resounding no on question two.
Thank you, Art. Mr. Mayhew.
Well, I think, number one, I agree that it should be voted down. I agree also with some of the concerns that have been expressed, but I think it's just flat out wrong to delete the provision. and not to replace it with anything else that safeguards the public interest. I think Carmen's idea for what I think normally is referred to as a supermajority is an absolutely good thing to do. In matters of conflict of interest or ethics, it's always important to do whatever we can to highlight potential conflicts of interest. This removes the disclosure provision in the charter. It's also important to make sure that we outline what constitutes a conflict of interest. And again, removing this does not do that. And then the final thing is to have the process include a vote of some weight so that the public can be assured that a conflict of interest by the majority, the vast majority, is not seen to exist. So I think that a lot of the concerns that have been expressed are valid concerns. I think that the way that we're going about handling it is just not the right way.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And I'm wondering, either Adam, Carmen, or Joe, did you have anything you wanted to respond to anything that Art and Walt just said?
Yes.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Carmen.
It's Carmen DeCenzo.
Yep. You know, for about 5 or 6 years into the last administration's term, we have asked for an ethics board. And to date, we have not filled an ethics board. And I think an ethics board would be able to weigh in on a lot of these problems that we have in the city between the waiver, nepotism. You know, we need to fill an ethics board. That's
and
my opinion.
It's as of right now, there's still no ethics board in the city of Derby? Okay.
Carmen, I agree. And that was one of the things that I mentioned in some of the information that I've put forward. My concern with the way the ethics board is currently laid out is, number one, it's only an ordinance. Any board can wipe it out at any time. Number two, a lot of the stuff, if you read the provisions about the ethics board, it only deals with things that have a specific financial impact. And I think that when you come to ethical conduct, it goes simply beyond dollars. Mm-hmm. It goes on to other things. For example, there's nothing in this particular situation when you talk about office holding that's related to dollars. But there still is a potential for unethical behavior by someone who holds both a city job and an elected official. So I think that we need to strengthen those, and I would be in favor of moving them into the charter. I would have hoped that if we were going to take a look at a provision that dealt with ethical behavior and we were going to remove it, that we would have replaced it by putting something like the ethics board legislation into the charter, which isn't as easily ignored either, by the way, because the charter is like the supreme document that governs city conduct.
I don't know if anybody had.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I could say too about conflict of interest is
Alderman DeMartino for our listeners. That's okay.
You know, I cannot vote on anything to do with the public works. So that's because I work there, obviously. So I recuse myself from all voting with public work issues. So I'm kind of confused on where there's a conflict of interest as far as if I'm not involved in public works issues as far as being an alderman, then where is the conflict? I just don't understand that.
Well, I can address that. I mean, you could give a number of scenarios. When we're knocking on doors and people say, hey, this pothole has been in front of my street forever, and I call the garage and nobody comes out to fix it, myself, I can call up the street commissioner and say, hey, can you send a crew there and try and fix this pothole? What I don't have the ability to do is go there and supervise a crew the very next day to ensure that the pothole is fixed. And that's an unfair advantage. And that's just one example. There's tons of examples where conflicts come in. You have a person on the WPCA that is weighing in on matters there, on funding there. But we're getting off topic by going to conflicts of interest. The thing is, although, we're talking about the charter.
Although, like, that does, I've heard that said before, that we're talking about conflicts of interest, and that's technically not what, but I think for the common man, the common listener, it is what we're talking about. The Derby Board of Education just voted this week to, I'm going to put it into my own word, to lower the standard when it comes to nepotism. And at the top of their policy, which was from CABE, Connecticut Board of Education Association, the stated purpose of it was all about conflict of interest. So anyway, but go ahead. I interrupted you.
Well, I was just going to say, if we look at, you know, the title of this section, the charter, is dual office holding. So right now we're talking about, you know, the ability of one person to throw out an election. Okay, that's what bothers these people. First of all, we were charged with the charter revision, how to help the city of Derby, how to move it forward, how to make it easier to do business with the city of Derby. And right off the bat, removing this from the charter was the number one thing that was expressed.
So how did
that helps the city of Derby, I don't know. To me, it seems very self-serving. That's one point. But the other point is that these... I'm losing my train of thought here because I'm getting wild up.
And you can come back to it because I know what that feels like. But one thing I just wanted to ask, and maybe this is going way into the weeds or too inside baseball, but from what I've heard, and I've asked you this before, it was when at the swearing-in ceremony for Mayor Anita Degato's second term, you made the Board of Aldermen nervous by insinuating that you were going to blow up the process by being that one guy who would vote no for city employees. Is that, Joe, is that where this came from? Because you were the kind of guy that said publicly, hey, this is something we should look into.
Yes, I mean, listen, before the inauguration, you know, rumor had it that Mr. Gerkens might vote no. And I'm not going to lie, I was very concerned about that. I worked hard to get elected, and I was kind of hoping he wasn't going to do that to me. But, yeah, that's where it all started from.
And then just the larger question of conflict of interest. I've been missing a lot of municipal meetings in Derby. I'm going to blame it on Derby youth soccer because I'm an assistant coach. At one point, I thought the Corporation Council for the City of Derby was supposed to issue an opinion on conflicts of interest and what they are, because there's so many questions have been raised. Where does that stand?
We have not heard.
So why is this going forward then? I guess that's where I'm having trouble as a voter and as a reporter. The Charter Revision Commission moved forward this long-held provision in the Derby Charter, but we still don't even have a definition of what defines...
That's exactly right, Eugene, and I think that's the reason it needs to be removed. That's why people need to vote yes, because you're holding individuals...
But we don't know what we're getting into.
You're
don't
holding
even know.
Individuals to a standard that doesn't exist, though. It's unreasonable. You can't tell this elected official you have to meet the standard. This is a potential conflict, and we don't know what that is. What you perceive as a conflict might be different than I. That's where I would decide in the voting booth not to vote for you.
Shouldn't the Corporation Council, his job is to help the public get these answers, shouldn't that answer, that question, be answered before this goes out to voters?
You can argue that point. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I mean, should we get that answer? Yes. Is there a clear answer? I don't think there is. That's the sea of gray. I mean, what is a potential conflict that Walt keeps referring to is it's what ifs. Who knows? We don't know what's coming down the road.
Although we do know, so based on the history of this law, the background is pretty simple. Up until the 1950s, Derby government was drowning in conflicts of interest. These are the days before freedom of information. Businessmen were elected to office, and then their businesses would get work from the city. And according to I put this in a couple of articles, but I'll just repeat it. 1953 Evening Sentinel, an alderman, Michael V. Vallaco? I don't know if I'm...
Vaccaro.
Vaccaro. Oh, so that must be a misprint in the Evening Sentinel. He described his fellow elected officials as, quote, leeches who have been on the gravy train too many years. Now, that's obviously a...
And I just don't think that we should take a single quote from 60 years ago and dictate policy now.
But you said this is why the law exists, though.
But
this is
the idea that, you know, business is being steered towards certain individuals is handled through a bid process.
Okay, let's go back to the explanatory text, though, because that's what we've talked about in this discussion has been centered around whether an alderman can also be like a public works employee. Right, but then when you read the explanatory text, and I think we can all agree, like, some of this is ridiculous. I mean, to make Joe DiMartino get a waiver from the Board of Aldermen to coach softball seems a bit extreme. But the question, if approved, would delete the section in its entirety and eliminate the prohibition against dual office holding by a member of the Board of Aldermen, and imagine this next part in bold. Eliminate the prohibition against city officials doing business with and being employed to do any work for the city of Derby. So it sounds like what they're talking about there, and I'm just reading that, cold. You're eliminating the prohibition against city officials doing business with the city? I mean, that's what that says to me. And that jumps out because that wasn't the discussion that was had on the Charter Revision Commission level. So I'm just wondering,
can we go back just for a second to your other question and the answer that came back?
I'm just curious about that, though, because I think that is, when we talk about potential conflicts of interest, that's by definition a conflict of interest.
Well, Eugene, the title of it is dual office holding, right? So let's look at it step by step. Eliminating dual office holding means, if I'm an attorney and I have a practice, I could get elected as an alderman and be appointed corporation counsel, right? There might be some ethical issues, but that in theory could happen. I could have a private business, right? And then using my influence on the Board of Aldermen or the other positions that are on there and divert work my way, or use my influence to divert work that way. I did a good job and helped the mayor get elected or reelected. He or her could say, you know what? I'm going to also make you chief of staff. So now you're an alderman and you're the chief of staff. There would be public outcry. There would be screams of ethical violations. But by removing that, it's entirely possible that we could go down that scenario. And I think...
Was this discussed at the charter revision or alderman level, that specific... Like, how did that explanatory text get explained like that? Can someone explain that?
The explanatory text came after the Charter Commission mm-hmm. changed the charter. The explanatory text came after.
Usually that's also developed by your corporation counsel. Was it done that
Correct.
Way?
It was.
Yes. Yeah.
It was.
So let me ask you, Carmen, because my hypothesis here is that what's happening or potentially happening or the way I'm reading that wasn't what the Charter Revision Commission intended. Is that accurate? I mean... Because obviously you can't own a business, you can't be a contractor and then just be an alderman and profit from the city. I mean, that's
correct.
Illegal. But
hence we go back to my ethics board.
But ethics board
would wipe all this away.
But this is why not just keep this as is then? Why not have it? Why lower the standard? I guess why you have a high standard, a very high standard. My question is, why lower it?
I think you already got the answer to that question, Eugene, when you asked your last question. People are afraid they're going to be removed from office. And they think that's not a thing that they want to see happen.
Well, as somebody that's not in office, somebody that was a part of this, that's not affected by that, I would say it allows for a disenfranchisement of the voter. If you're telling me that, given the last time what this scenario was born out of, Art could have said no to Joe and the 600 people that voted for him. That's wrong. Why does Art get to decide that? Another alderman in the same ward get to decide that this individual can't be a part of the process, a part of the process that the people wanted him there for.
The Board of Aldermen are the highest governing authority in our city. They're vested with many decisions that might go contrary. If you take a look at the Charter Revision, you take a look at the Board of Ethics that Carmen's talking about, the Board of Aldermen is the highest authority in governing that.
There's no argument there.
And assisting and putting out the penalty, which includes removal from office.
But it's not the board that's making the decision. It's a single individual.
I understand that. And so if that's the problem, then the Charter Revision Committee, instead of throwing the baby out with the bathwater, should have rewrote it to include a supermajority. I think there's a lot of unintended consequences here from removing the provision.
Yeah, and that raises, because Carmen, I know there was an alderman's meeting where you guys sort of, because the alderman had the last sign off, essentially. You guys got the document, the proposed revisions from the Charter Revision Commission, and then each alderman weighed in. And as it, right before you guys voted on it, you said,
I wanted to propose another question.
Instead of making this a unanimous thing, to knock out the concerns that Adam is bringing
correct.
Up.
Correct. What happened the meeting before, when we were talking about the first question and all the grammar and everything, I wanted to propose a question. And Tom says, Carm, you don't have to propose it here. You can propose it at the next meeting. Well, I guess not knowing what my question was going to be, he shouldn't have said that, because now go forward a week,
when we had that meeting, and I wanted to propose the question, leave 14 alone and just change the word unanimous to majority. And Tom said, oh, we can't do that now.
Because that would have been doing the work of the Charter Revision Commission. It was their
so
mission.
So I said,
to
well,
that.
Tom, this is why I asked you a week before, can we do it now? And he says, and you told me to wait till next week. And now we wait till next week, and now you can't do it. Because I think the Walt used the word supermajority or majority would have solved a lot of this problem. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes away that one person knocking out a person who was voted in by the public. You know, on the other hand, if it becomes political and you have a 5-4 majority and the minority person is the one looking for the waiver, the other five can say no. You know, so.
But what? All right, you know, are you?
Yeah, can I jump in here? I think the reason we're here and this is even being discussed is it was a tactical error. It was a tactical error by the Board of Aldermen to let this go forward as written. Joe and I were at that charter revision meeting, and we were talking amongst ourselves that, you know what, it's probably going to go majority. We talked about, you know what, I think it should be maybe a 2/3 supermajority. And the next thing you know, the alderman out in the audience and some members in the public said, I think this whole thing should be taken out. And from that point on, it went downhill. They drummed up the support, and here we are now. Take the whole section out with no other option. So Carmen is admitting that it's a tactical error. Like, he didn't want that. He wanted to provide another choice, which probably I would have gotten behind. But the way it's written now, and it's kind of hypocritical to say that's what you want, and, well, since it's not there, vote yes. No, it's wrong. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, we made a tactical error, vote no on question two. My feeling, my opinion.
It's sad to me in this day and age that when you have a conflict that's erupted between people on the same board, that leadership doesn't step in whatever form. In my day, on the Board of Aldermen or on the tax board, one of three people would have dealt with this issue, got an agreement from the people involved to put it aside until we can fashion a solution that's the best possible solution. Let's have a good dialogue on this. Let's talk about it completely and totally. It would have been either the town chairman, these guys are all Democrats, it would have been the mayor, or it would have been the president of the Board of Aldermen. One of those three. And of course, it would have been decided behind closed doors who took care of it, because it's really an internal political party matter that's kind of blossomed into a public fiasco. And so now what we have is we have a situation where, because, you know, the waiver thing is coming up again, we're concerned somebody might be removed from office without proper motivation. We've got this situation which has a lot of downside to it if it's eliminated. Instead of taking the time, exercise the leadership, form a dialogue about this among all the people concerned. Let's develop a solution that addresses it. Maybe you incorporate the ethics board into the charter. You make it as strong ethically as you can, but still protect the rights of everybody involved. That's the solution that we should have had.
I think what happened, this was a rush job.
Exactly.
You know, let's get it on the ballot. Let's get it on the ballot. These poor guys here, Art, Joe, right? They worked very hard.
Twice a week,
meeting after meeting. I went to some of them. You know, they had a lot of things going on. And maybe if we did what Walt said, step back, take a look at everything, sat down and discuss it amongst the group, then maybe we would have saw the better light. Hey, let's just change it to a supermajority, and everybody would be happier with that aspect. You know, but it is what it is now. So going forward, I still feel that, you know, the Joe here to my left is runs for office. The people elect him. He should be able to serve.
But considering that you had just, you know, what was sort of coming out in this conversation is that there was a lot of pressure to get this done because, for whatever reason, charter revisions, the way it happens there, you have the time limit that's imposed from who knows where.
There wasn't any pressure, Eugene. The pressure was that we look at this charter There's spelling errors. There's grammatical errors.
You had a deadline.
I mean, that would have been easy to fix. The little stuff, the minutia, take care of that stuff and take care of one or two things that are glaringly out there that would help the city do business. And instead, we're charged with taking out Section 14. That was the number one priority. And we got our priorities mixed up, and to now say, oh, we were rushed. No, nobody said to discuss that. I mean, that we were charged to make it easier to do business with the city of Derby and to fix some grammatical and spelling errors and make it gender neutral. You know, we could have done that, and we did do that. But to throw that in, which is a bigger, bigger discussion, it was just wrong. Nobody rushed it. It was forced on the Charter Revision Commission. And I said at the time, I'm not going to get angry over this. You know what? You guys have the votes. You're going to do it. Let the people speak. Let the people vote at election. And that's where we're at. And again, I say they deserve to say no. I mean, you've heard it right from the president of the board. It was rushed. They believe it should be a supermajority, so why are you still encouraging people to vote yes? It was a mistake. It was a tactical error. This should just go nowhere. It should be beaten resoundly.
The reason I'm encouraging the people to vote yes is because a gentleman like Joe, Steve, Tom D'Onofrio, Chris Carlone, these are Derby people who were born and raised here. Worked all their life here. Coach Pop Warner football. Coach Biddy basketball. Coach Little League. Helped out the schools. Helped out the churches. You're going to take this person and tell him now one person can tell him, no, you can't serve on the board that you were elected to? That's ludicrous.
But what it's if, been let in, let on the just... books for almost 100 years, and it's never happened. And, in fact, people are trying to portray me as the bad guy here, but... you still got the waiver. You got the waiver every time it came up. You got the waiver for softball. You got the waiver to be an alderman. You got it last time ran.
But let me just.
It would be political suicide.
It's not about Joe DiMartino.
No,
it's not about. I mean,
isn't it though?
Well, here's the thing.
I mean, the reality is, Art says it's never happened. It's never happened. But his argument against moving this forward is the potential for what could happen. So the potential for what could happen exists in this situation. It cuts both ways, Art.
Well, let me just ask you, because here's my question about the... Go ahead.
If I could speak towards, the remarks made about the timeline and this being forced upon the Charter Revision Committee. Having said that, I'm not on the Board of Aldermen. And in reference to your comment earlier, well, I'm not a Democrat, but...
No, I was talking only about the dispute that was taking place on the board.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not affiliated with either of the parties, to be clear. But either way... This was born out of the process, you know, which involved a public portion where we received direction from the public. There were public notices for hearings that people came, and the number of people came was small, but this was the issue that was brought up by them. A few of them were on the Board of Aldermen, a few of them were previous members, and others were just members at large from the public. And this was the issue that was brought forward, and that's why the Charter Revision Committee tackled it. It wasn't that it was charged upon us by anyone from the city.
Yeah, when I use the word pressure, I might have made a mistake because I'm thinking about it. When I meant pressure to deadline, did you feel pressure from political entities within the Board of Aldermen to put this on the...
No. That's what I'm saying. This was born out of the public hearing process, you know, and that's what drove this. So to say that we this was forced upon us by any political group is not necessarily accurate.
Well, it's not necessarily inaccurate, too, because right moments before the very first meeting, there was a caucus in the back room there, and the aldermen marched out. And when you say the public was there, yeah, there were two or three public members, but the majority were members of the Board of Aldermen and other city officials. And they're the ones that said this is what we should see in public portion. So, you know, that goes both ways, too.
Well, it's in public portion. There's a public hearing. Maybe it's crass, but the world's run by those who show up. That's who showed up. And those are the issues they brought forward. And that's what I was charged with to deal with.
And they were brought forward at the beginning. It was nothing that we tried to bring in at the end from the board. It was brought in at the beginning that we should look at this. You know, and at that time, you know, there was nobody saying that it had to be unanimous majority or supermajority or out. It was up to the...
It was the start of the discussion.
It was the start of the discussion, and then it was going to be up to the commission to figure that out.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, there's been a city employee on the Board of Aldermen for quite a while. I mean, you look back, even before my time, there were still city employees on the Board of Aldermen. You know, Artie's in the second ward with me. We walked door to door. We handed out our flyers. We helped each other to try to get elected, you know, to get on the seat to be a Board of Aldermen. You know, it's never happened where the waiver wasn't given, at least as far as I'm concerned. I don't know, dating farther back, I'm not sure if it was ever rejected or not, but as from my date, I don't remember it ever happening. You know, so I'm just going to, you know, listen, we're walking door to door. Me and Artie are working together to get elected, and it's just kind of scary that he was kind of unsure. He made it seem unsure what he was going to do that day of the inauguration. And that's what kind of just bothers me.
Planted the seed in your mind.
It did. That's what planted the seed. That's what really planted this whole thing. I mean, and I'm not blaming Artie. Artie's a good friend of mine, and I'd stick by Artie any day. I'm just saying that, you know, we helped each other get elected. We walked door to door, and then I go to the inauguration, and the rumor bug is going around that Artie may vote no. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Or why is this happening? So, you know, again, that's why the one person bothers me. That one person could say no.
And let me just a follow up to that question. I think is natural. You had said it never happened. We don't know if it's ever happened. Isn't that proof that, although Barbara DiGennaro brought up something where she was getting
screws
put to her.
No, it has happened.
So okay, so when has it happened though? Because my question was, it doesn't the system work? Why change it if it's not broken?
Because a library employee was on a board or commission.
Are you talking about Jamie Cullen, the former corporation council statement?
No. Okay. No. And we voted. I'm not sure if Joe was on the board at that time, but Art and myself were on the board. And we voted no for his waiver.
A little different, though. That was appointed positions. And, you know, behind the scenes, the mayor had a choice for a fire commissioner. And there was a Board of Aldermen member who said, don't even bring that name up. Don't even bring it up because I'm voting no. He will in no way will this person get that waiver from me. It happens with appointments. We've seen it. But as far as I know, you know what? It would be political suicide for one man to say no to, you know, the people's voice. And you know, I'm not a stupid guy. You know what? Joe earned the vote. The others earned the vote. They got my waiver. You know, but it is a tool to have there. It's on the books. It served the city well for almost 100 years. Jamie Cullen came to public. He spoke. There's nobody more respected than Jamie Cullen in this valley. And he mentioned 66 of his 69 years here. He's either lived in Derby or worked for the city of Derby. And he gave a 6-minute presentation, dialogue to our commission about the benefits of how this has been all these years, how well it served the city. There's no public outcry to change it. And you know what the answer was at the end of this eloquent speech? Well, that's how it is now. That's why we want to change it. You know, with the question of, well, you know, moving this, aldermen shouldn't be getting paid. Well, that's how it is now, and that's why we want to change it. And I mean, listen to the tape. It's right on there. So it's just horrible idea to change this, given the fact that, you know, it's a strategic error. They made it wrong. It's wrong. It needs to be voted no. And it's as simple as that. You're hearing everybody here, not everybody here, but you're hearing some of the members of this panel saying they wish it was a majority or a supermajority. Yet this is not that. What's on the ballot is to remove it. And it's a dangerous thing to do.
And it is appropriate for the Board of Aldermen to act as the oversight and the keepers, if you will, of the public trust. I mean, that's a very important function. And you've already heard of a couple of instances where they've exercised that. And that's good. That's the way it should be. We have to have a confidence in our elected officials that when they see a potential conflict of interest, when they see something that's not right, that they're going to step in and they're going to correct that situation. Whether that's an appointment, whether that's an elected situation. And if we had taken better care of developing a solution, I don't think any of us would be sitting here right now. I think that's the bottom line. And it may come down to the point of, hey, turn around and ask Art. If you're worried about Art exercising his veto power, say, hey, Art, would you not do that until we can fashion a solution? If he says yes, this whole thing is just like not even something that's going to get exercised.
Yeah, Adam, who do you think benefits from deleting this provision?
I think the voter benefits. I mean, I see people being given the ability to exercise their vote freely, you know, to being able to choose the person that they feel is best suited to lead this city, and to do so without fear of that individual being removed for potentially nefarious reasons or motivations by a single individual that already exists in the position. So I see the city benefiting by an unshackling of the voters' rights.
And I guess one thing to address, like Carmen had mentioned, a bunch of people who are currently city employees and faithfully serving the city. But we have seen elsewhere. We launched in 2009, right? And we've seen the Oxford tax collector was thrown in jail. In Shelton, a finance person in City Hall thrown in jail. In Ansonia, we had the tax department giving favors essentially to city employees and family members. In Derby, a tax clerk at some point did something wrong. I can't explain it to you. It was never fully explained to the public. You had a Derby official a few years back who was arrested, plea bargained down his case. It had no effect on his job under a prior administration. The Derby Senior Center executive director is due in court November 9th because she's accused of stealing money. I guess my question is...
I'd like to point out, all of those things happened while this provision existed.
Right.
So it has done nothing to protect from the potential threats that they keep talking about.
What's the biggest threat? I mean, but what has happened are these series of...
And they've all been handled and dealt with through the legal system.
What do you think the common denominator is in all those cases? I'm curious.
You have a bad actor who works to benefit themselves. And when that came to light, it was dealt with in every situation. And again, I'd like to point out the provision that is there supposedly to protect against this situation didn't do so. It existed at the time those things occurred.
It doesn't only protect, though, Adam. It warns that people that they are in jeopardy of losing that position if they act in those ways.
If you steal, you're always in jeopardy of losing from your
position. It's not just stealing. The ones that have been highlighted here are obvious breaches of ethics. But there's far other ethical considerations. Suppose, and this isn't intended, Joe, I'm not speaking to you personally, okay? But suppose you had someone who would get involved in negotiating of contracts from a Board of Aldermen perspective, even though they held a city job. That's not, quote, a dollar-related kind of thing, but it is influence. You are peddling your influence into the situation.
Yeah, what about
a negotiation of a contract is certainly dollar-related.
What about
not necessarily. It could be benefits of other ways.
What about what we never hear about is just the appearance, how it looks, whether or not, and we all know everyone that Carmen mentioned are all good people. No one's saying the Board of Education is made up of good people, but there could be a day when, you know, we elect John Rowland, Darth Vader, and Jerry Sandusky, and you know, doesn't make some kind of sense to have some. I don't understand why lower the standard.
Lowering of the standard. I mean, what you're doing is allowing the voter to decide if Darth Vader should be in that seat, you know, and if they chose to vote for that person, they knew what they were doing, and they knew what they were getting into.
Should somebody who owns a business then? Because it says in that explanatory text that you're removing the provision, someone can do business with you. You can profit off the city. That's why the protection is there.
Right,
that's where it comes from. Should that be...
That type of business relationship would still have to be vetted through a bidding process, which is outlined by the charter.
If it's in excess of a certain amount of money.
Okay. So
what's the new waiver now that we have 10,000?
I think it just went up to 10,000.
Right.
Yes.
If the charter revision passes.
How do people have confidence in their government, though, if you're lowering the standards when it comes to you have a provision in check that are in place that's been there forever. And we have the reason I list those bad PR things
I would argue, how do you have those bad PR things when you have this quote unquote high standard, this provision that's protecting against it, that's supposed to be preventing these situations, and it's still occurring? Okay. How can you argue for that?
Okay.
Eliminating the waiver language does one thing, and I disagree with Joe on this statement, that if you run, everybody knows that you're a city employee. I don't think everybody knows. I don't even think everybody who votes for you knows. I don't live in the first ward. I've known the Iacone family forever. I didn't happen to know that the Alderman Iacone was in the public works, in the PCW.
Can't WPC. This just, doesn't this encourage the old boys network that we hear about, backroom politics where you can stack the deck? And
no, I don't think
I don't, I don't think so. You still have to be voted in. You still have to run a campaign, be through an election process.
But and you don't see an inherent conflict in collecting a paycheck from the city and working for the city? Shouldn't that, I mean...
That's a strange question. You should be paid for your work, I guess. Collecting a paycheck from the city while you're working?
Right. That's
while serving.
Sort of...
Why serving.
Yes,
serving.
Yes, while yes. Serving. While, yeah, I'm sorry. You're on the board of aldermen and you collect... Isn't that... A conflict of interest?
Well, as Joe has, you know, pointed out, anyone who serves in those positions recuses themselves from the discussions regarding their
Should.
Particular discipline.
That hasn't okay. always been the case, though.
So some of us here are under the feeling that a person who works for the city of Derby and gets paid by the city of Derby should not be able to hold office at all?
No, but you might want to go to the Board of Aldermen for a unanimous approval just as a check on that potential problem.
And that's and right. That's right. Disagree. That's I don't think it should be unanimous.
But that's okay, well, not, that, that's not what
yeah,
we
but
put there, up.
You, but
we
you agree up. That a check should be in place.
Yeah. Yes.
You're, okay.
I'm still looking for my ethics committee.
Right.
You know, I'm all for checks and balances, but I just don't think that my only thing is, and you know, take Art out of the equation because you know I've known Art since he was a
lot of people would like to take Art out of the equation.
You know what I mean? I've known Art since he was 10 years old. Down the road, you know, somebody's mother and your mother had an argument one year and you don't like this guy and you're on the board and he's looking for a waiver and you just say no because you got something against him. That's the conflict that I have. That's the problem I have with this unanimous thing. You know, one person says no, the person who just got 400 votes in his ward is out.
Mm-hmm.
And all those votes don't matter. And that's the crime here. The people's votes should matter because they're the ones that have that power. The government gave them the power to vote. That's just my opinion.
And that's very powerful, you know, what you just said. But again, we're not talking about a majority, or we're talking about taking the whole thing out. And I think there's a spirit of willingness to compromise on this somehow, somewhere. I know we could get there. But the way it's written right now that the voters are going to decide on is to take the whole section out. And to take the whole section out, and while stating that you wanted a majority or a supermajority is disingenuous.
Yeah,
I should be encouraging people to vote no, and let's go back to the drawing board.
The original purpose of this, although I think it got sort of went off the track, it sounds like during the charter revision, but the original purpose was to prevent corruption. Adam, your point, it doesn't work. But shouldn't you have something there? I mean, because what's more likely to happen? If you look, since we launched in 2009, I mean, political attacks, that's always going to happen. Politicians are always going to try to sort of hit each other in certain ways. But it seems to me the more serious things this is trying to get at, that happens a lot. It's happened in the Valley a lot. I don't understand if I'm a member of the public and I've lost trust in government, as I've all lost trust in journalism. How does taking away something that was originally designed to protect against corruption, I don't understand how that's justified. When we have corruption.
I can appreciate the original intent, you know, and as was mentioned earlier, I could probably capitulate towards a different solution. But that's not what's before us. What's before us is what the public came forward in the public hearings and put forward, and then the Charter Revision Committee discussed. And to be fair, Art, your words in those meetings were, "I don't care." So moving forward, I think it's a little disingenuous for you to sit here now and say that this is an issue for you, to sit here and say, no, this is ridiculous, this is preposterous, when back then you had the opportunity to discuss this debate and you said, "I don't care."
Yep. I don't know if I said just "I don't care." Maybe I did. Certainly there were probably some other words around it. But there's a point where you realize you don't have the votes. It's all about the votes. Any board you're on, it's about the votes. And I wasn't going to spend a lot of time and energy and raising my blood pressure because I didn't have the votes. So I don't care. Go ahead, send it to the full board of aldermen and let them send it to the people. You know what? There it is. The people got a choice. They could vote for it or they could reject it. That's how it should be. So you're right. Charter revision. Didn't care. Didn't have the votes. Go ahead. I'm beaten. Do what you want. They did what they want. Okay, now it's time. Money time. The chips are on the table. Let the citizens vote yes or vote no. Now I care.
Okay, I wanted to ask one thing that I saw. Art, you put on Twitter, and it's in the meeting minutes, about who was involved in contract negotiations in Derby. It was a meeting that I missed with the DPW. And Joe, the meeting minutes, and I don't know if this is accurate or not, I think it was from Fran Teodoso. He had listed your name as being involved, I guess, on a team that was part of the union negotiations with the mayor. Is that, I just read meeting minutes. Is that accurate, or can you explain what that involvement was?
Yeah, yes, that's accurate. I work for the city. I was on the team to meet with the mayor's negotiating team about contract negotiations. And again, I stand by, I cannot vote on the public works contract as an alderman. I have to recuse myself. So, yes.
Yeah, and I'm not hitting you over the head, but could you just explain to me, because I don't understand how it works. I don't understand how the contracts are negotiated, because it's private information. It's not actually subject to FOI. But I saw that and I said, well, wait a second. Could that be the Board of Aldermen negotiating with itself? If you've got two members of the Board of Aldermen who are also union members who are negotiating contracts with the mayor, those contracts then go to the Board of Aldermen for approval. Isn't that the essence? Isn't that a pure conflict?
Well, not if they recuse themselves. And that night at our meeting, we had executive session and they left. They both recused themselves and left the room when we had a discussion.
I know and respect Joe DiMartino, but the appearance for the average voter who listens to this podcast or is going to cast a vote on deleting this provision, shouldn't that never happen? If you have a member of the Board of Aldermen who's on the union negotiating team, can't I wonder that, oh, wait a second, he's going to go back and tell the other alderman how to vote, or his own political party how to vote?
Well, first of all, yeah, there's your conflict. If you have an alderman tell another alderman how to vote, then the alderman that's being told how to vote should step off. Because if you can't vote with your own mind, then you don't belong in politics.
But shouldn't, I guess, does anybody else have an issue with that? Because the alderman's negotiating with himself, potentially. I mean, he's required to recuse, or is that, is there, because Welsher, the Corporation Council, has a weighed in with his what should be what.
Whether I'm required or not, I would still remove myself, because that's what I should do. I should not have any vote at all when it comes to that.
Should the aldermen completely separate themselves from the process and not be involved in the contract talks at all, to in an effort to fully eliminate anybody or any kind of appearance?
I think that's one of the problems that's inherent with this kind of a situation. I doubt that you could legally govern how he could function as a public works employee, because he has the right as a public works employee to be part of his union bargaining unit, especially if yours, usually that goes to the senior guys. Joe's been around with the department forever.
Yeah, I don't know how it works.
So
I understand your point. It does present a potential conflict of interest, but I don't think the city could legislate and require him to withdraw. I think it might be wise to withdraw just to, like you say, not let anybody be able to say anything negative about it.
And does a situation that we have there then, does that fall back upon why we have this rule in the charter to begin with? Isn't that one of the things it's supposed to protect against?
I could appreciate that's probably the intent, but I don't see the current language protecting against him operating within his collective bargaining agreement rights, you know, and operating as an agent of the union. Me, by trade, I'm actually a union negotiator, and I've written a number of collective bargaining agreements. But I guess, you know, so you understand, unions work in a way that it's a democratic process as well. There's an election, and a board is elected by its membership. So there's a voting there.
Wouldn't I vote if I know my guy's on the board of aldermen as a union member? Wouldn't I vote for him then?
I would see that the other way. I would not vote for him, okay, just for that reason. But because I would have the perception that he'd be negotiating for the other side, but for his own, you know, political advancement.
So it's cloudy. It could be potentially cloudy, right, either way.
Right. And I could certainly see that, you know, there's a perception issue, and you can argue for remaining above reproach and things of that nature, but perception isn't reality. And, you know, you can roll out the jump to conclusions mat all you want, you know, see where you end up, but that's not reality. In the end, he recused himself from the vote. If his membership decided that he's the one they want there, and the people here decided they want him in this position here, people have decided that. It's gone through a democratic process, and I think we need to respect that.
To Carmen's point, and I like his point, but it would be if a person in that situation came to me as a sitting alderman and asked me to do something based upon that kind of insider knowledge, if you will, I'd be looking to bring them up on charges some way.
Yeah, I mean, you don't believe
or
in
if,
politics.
Or if this provision was enforced.
You know,
that's probably why.
The day of inauguration, we all stand up on the stage and we take an oath. And if you can't live by that oath, then you don't belong in politics. Mm-hmm. Because that's where bad politics, that's what gives politics a bad name.
Yeah, and this article that we're, you know, discussing doesn't allow for the removal of an individual. It's the gatekeeper. It allows them in. Once they're in, they're in. Mm-hmm. So to say that this provision would prevent these actions from happening, it's not true. Once they're in, they're in.
It prevents further damage. That's really all it does, by removing the person.
It would eliminate my need to ask that question. Is an alderman on the negotiating team with the mayor for a union contract?
But that's true with all ethical legislation. It doesn't prevent the right. ethical breach. It just gives a way of dealing with it so that the public trust can be maintained. Even the Board of Ethics
standard.
Doesn't stop somebody from being unethical. It's there to deal with the ethical problem that crops up.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. I'm going to let Joe have the last word.
I mean, I just, you know, this is how I feel. And again, I kind of like that question kind of fell upon me. And you know, listen, I love the city. I love being an alderman. My job is a public works employee. I support my family that way. So, you know, yes, I work for the city. Yes, I ran for alderman and I won. It doesn't make me a bad person. Doesn't make me, again, you know, I know nobody's here trying to say I'm a bad person, but I'm just saying that, you know, listen, it just so happens that I work for the public works. That's how I support my family. So, you know, I recuse myself when I have to. So there's no conflict. There's no, hopefully nobody can question my ethics. And that's what I do.
Okay. With that, that was the 1 hour mark. I don't know if you guys are willing to go into the sort of the next part of the charter. Maybe we'll take another 30 minutes at most to run through some of the other things. Carmen looks like he wants to jump out the window.
Well, Art and myself have somewhere to go after this, and I don't know. We're going to get a little wet today. I think we're doing the
Derby
started
Cares,
the Derby
right.
Cares program. So, and today's our first task.
I think a half hour would be good.
Yeah, at the most. Yeah, I appreciate that. So maybe, you know, the other things in there are sort of, and I'll throw it out to Joe, Art, and Adam. It seems more self-explanatory. I mean, there's a lot of just cleanup, basic charter revision stuff. You're cleaning up language. You're making the document gender neutral. What are some other things? If you could hit some of the highlights of this revision. And as you do that, I'm going to bring up the actual explanatory text, see if I have any.
We touched upon the bid process some, as well as public notifications.
Tell me about the bid process. Let's talk about that, because I'm confused on that. What was it, and how is it being changed?
Well, it was previously just an arbitrary number. Now we changed the number, but we've also added language in there to allow for the use of state bid lists, as well as identifying sole source providers and things of that nature, to again streamline the business of the city. So in hopes that you know, we can take advantage of the buying power of larger block organizations, you know, multiple towns together, state, as I said, previous organizations that have identified that these are the lowest bidder already. You know, they've done their due diligence to get themselves on this list and work within a set pricing structure that offers the city the best advantage to take advantage of those opportunities.
Are these sections 66 and 67, Adam? Is that what we're talking about?
Correct.
Right there? So it says changes section 66 changes the process for purchasing by increasing the bid limits and process for purchasing, and update to gender neutral language and technical language change.
Yeah, you know, the increases to the bids, you know, through the discussion, I had hoped that we
so the dollar amount was lower,
right? And we again, it's a committee process. This is what we ended up coming out with, and I think it's decent. But the I was kind of hoping we would chain the number to like a CPI, so it kind of be forever language. We never have to touch it again. But again, this will have to be adjusted again in the future for inflation and things of that nature.
And why it was needed, from what I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, and anybody can jump in here. You, basically, the city of Derby, your departments had to, the dollar amount was really low. So you're constantly having to go out to bid. And in some cases, because it hadn't been changed in years, the number was so low, I don't remember what it was. You could be spending more money on the bid process.
Right.
Than the actual work.
And that's what brings into the public notifications. When you go out to bid and do an RFP, you have to put it out into regional publications that have a volumes, circulating volume of a certain amount and in our certain regions. And, you know, the cost that was being associated with doing that is ever increasing with the decline of newspapers. You know, they're trying to maintain their bottom line on the backs of cities in these bid processes.
So you're getting away from the requirement of
having to
publish in
there's kind of an overlay in between product. The bid process as well as the public notification portion there.
They still have to get three quotes.
Okay, yeah, explain that, Carmen.
I'm
a journalist. Like, I've never bid on anything. You know what
correct.
I mean?
So Adam mentioned the state bid list. So we're on a state bid list. We want to get the fire chief a new car. So, okay, what's the state bid list for that? Well, $34,000. So now, tell the fire chief, you have to go out and get three quotes for your vehicle. And they come in under $34,000, then now they have the choice of picking whichever car dealer that they want.
Okay. And then one part, anybody else wanted to add anything on the bid changes?
No, he covered it pretty well. You know, it gives the managers and the department heads a little more flexibility, and this'll the time to get things done will be much quicker without the need to publicize and spend money for publication. And the dollar amount, I think we went up to 15 grand, from low of 5 grand. So it gives them a little more ability and a little more flexibility. Of course, they have oversight over the process too. So,
and just quickly, section 44 in the explanatory language, the change there, it adds a requirement of public hearing before the sale of city-owned land, eliminates requirement to publish notice in a newspaper, and update to gender-neutral language. What's happening now? There's a, why is that needed? Why do we have to have a public hearing before the sale of city-owned land?
Just, I think it's pretty clear. You just want the public to have the opportunity to say what happens with their land. You know, the taxpayer, this is their land. You know, they have the opportunity to speak on it.
And yeah, how's it work now? I didn't realize that was not happening.
I think right now the Board of Aldermen are told there's a parcel of land and what do you want to do with it? And in most cases, we just hang on to it, or if it's blighted, we'll demolish a building or clean up the blight through, you know, through our programs. But ultimately, the aldermen were deciding what to do with city property. So this will let the public have their input.
Gotcha. And then just, is there anything else that you guys feel is important to touch upon all those other changes that are in there? Is there any particular one you want the people to know about?
Well, the gender neutral, we ended up going with alderman / alderwoman.
Instead of alders?
Instead of alders. I think
Thank you.
Mayhew had a thing about alders. I'll let him touch on that.
Okay. You know, did you guys have anything you wanted to add before we call it a day here on a Saturday morning at the Valley Indy office?
Well, I mean, I would certainly like to thank the commission for all the hard work they did. Alderman DeGennaro, she came up with all the commas and all the changes, and she did a lot of work on her end and presented it to the board. But these guys gave up 2-3 nights a week, 2-3 hours a night hammering out this, and we should all be thankful that they were able to do that.
Yeah, I'd like to say that this process was in a shortened time frame though, and this document is not perfect, and this process needs to be revisited. So there were some issues there that we were not able to tackle just because of the timeline constraints, as well as the fact that the public didn't come out and dictate that we handle them immediately. So that lended towards the priority of things that we had.
Yeah, the public involvement was really nothing, by no fault of the board. I mean, it was a little depressing to see that nobody really came out.
It was publicized. I mean, I saw Valley Indy publicize it. We tweeted it. We put it on social media. It was out there. But, yeah, that was a bit disappointing.
I think part of that was the expectation, at least this was my expectation, that the reason for the charter revision this time was basically to go in and clean up some language and to facilitate the doing business with the city. And so a lot of people, when you hear that, think,
routine.
That's not something that I need to get involved
with. That was
with.
The charge from the mayor. That
right.
was the charge from the city.
And so I think that might have played into why there wasn't as much public involvement. If you had an idea that it was going to be like an open suggestion kind of a thing, or that there were going to be other issues that were going to be involved, I'll tell you from my own personal perspective, I would love to see us get to the discussion about why we need to continue to have the chief of police being an ascension kind of situation and why we're not free to go out and hire the best possible candidate. There's a discussion that you could have. And I think there's a few other issues like that, but it didn't seem like that was the intent in calling this group, and we were going to deal with some other issues.
Yeah.
And so that was fine. You know,
I agree. That was the intent.
Yeah.
But, you know, when during your public hearing process, the only thing that's brought up by the public is this dual office holding.
Right.
You have to address it.
Oh, I understand that completely. You know,
that's why the discussion was born out of that.
Yeah. I served on a charter revision commission under Mayor Steferi, and it was a similar kind of thing, except for here's the things I want, but we'll talk about, you know, other things as well. And so that was a little different. We had people coming out of the woodwork for that. You know, when it came to things, changes in the fire department, changes in the police department, changes in the number of people seeking office, that was one that was a big deal. You know, we talk about always having trouble recruiting candidates. Maybe we should consider reducing the number of people who we have to go out and get to serve in some of these positions and consolidating some of them, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Those are all great.
To have.
Right, exactly. But I think from a public point of view, that wasn't the way it was presented, so a lot of people decided not to really get involved with it.
You know, I think also, too, that we were all in agreement that as soon as this vote is over, the mayor should put another commission right together again and let them get back to work and have the full year to really tackle some of the tough situations and again, not be, per se, rust like kind of we were. So I think it's a great idea that, you know, she does that right, or whoever does that right away and gets that rolling.
The timeline is only if they want to get it on the ballot for November, though.
Correct.
Some of these issues may take more time to dialogue as a community and find a good solution. So
you know, I understand initially the intent here being that business thing being cleaned up, that had urgency, if you will. But the rest of these, if it takes longer, let's take longer. Let's put it off to another year for a vote to try to accomplish the best possible solution for.
Yeah, having said that, though, when you have members of the public, the few that did come out speak mm-hmm. towards one issue, you can't disregard it.
I'm not saying disregard it, but the conversation may wind up having to go in a different direction.
Fair.
You know, you might want to, for example, if you were talking about consolidating the elective officials, I would want to talk to the people on the Board of Aldermen, find out what they do. I'd want to talk with the tax board, find out what they do. How, you know what I'm saying? Whatever changes you're thinking about making, you have to get the people involved who are knowledgeable on what takes place there. And so that's going to take a mm-hmm. significant amount of time. And it may not, I wouldn't want to force that into an artificial date just to get it onto a referendum and then come up with a solution where, oh, we didn't even think about that, you know, kind of thing. I think you're always better taking your time, making a good solution, hopefully that the entire community can get behind, and the vote for the thing is kind of a no-brainer, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for more information on charter revision and what's happening November 8th, go to www.derbyct.gov/election-information. And I think you should make the mayor's term 4 years. I'm subliminally planting that in your heads. So thank you, Adam Pacheco, Alderman DiCenzo, Alderman DiMartino, Alderman Gerkens. Oh, wait, Gerkens is jumping in.
I just wanted to say we've been at it for a little over an hour, hour 15 or so, and you heard us going back and forth. And, you know, sometimes it gets a little heated and this and that. But we're about to do a great thing with Derby Cares in about an hour or so, where we're going to help a senior citizen who has some health concerns get his property back in line. So, you know, although we get heated at times, you know, when we pull together, that's the beauty of our valley and our community. So I wanted to thank you.
Right. Dave sent me the stuff. You could put the church on the list. We'd be glad to help with that.
Very good.
And Walt Mayhew, thank you so much for joining us. You know, it's I really appreciate this. This is why the Valley at Indy exists. I don't think anything like this has been done before. So I want to thank you guys for the service to the city of Derby, where I live. I benefit from your work. And thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, Gene.